Welcome to Charity Chat. I'm your host, Samuel Davies. In this episode, we speak with Bernadette Murphy, fundraising manager at Blind Low Vision NZ. We speak about her experience of moving to a four-day working week, what other charities should think about before trialling it, and the pros and cons of doing so. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. So without further ado, here is Bernadette Murphy speaking about the four-day working week. I'm delighted to be joined by Bernadette Murphy, fundraising manager at Blind Low Vision NZ and friend of the show. Bernadette, welcome back to Charity Chat.
Thank you. I'm a repeat offender, aren't I?
Second you are. Time in. You are. Yeah, I call people a friend of the show if they come back for more than one episode because, you know, it shows that they haven't been terribly offended or upset by us, which is good. So, Bernadette, our regular listeners will remember you, of course, from the relatively recent episode on your incredible fundraising campaign. To those who don't know you, could you just talk a little bit about your background and what's led you to your work at Blind Low Vision NZ?
I think I've always come from a marketing background, marketing and comms, and then I wanted to work in a place that I knew I was making social change. That was really important to me. And I'd have to admit this is my fourth time back to Blind Low Vision NZ. Yeah, I'm a frequent flyer there. I do have a family member, a sister who's low vision, so it makes sense for me to be in this space and I understand it from a personal level. So I guess you could say as a fundraiser, it's important to have that emotional connection as well as being a donor to have that emotional connection. So yeah, marketing, fundraising, comms just really makes me happy.
What is it about fundraising, do you think, that makes you happy? Is it that you're... I was talking to a colleague about this the other day, and I guess you know some of the views kind of were that it means that we get to see change, I guess, in society, you know, and that I suppose the flip side is we also it's quite an emotional world, I think, fundraising, isn't it? We're talking about emotional things, and we're getting probably a bit emotional ourselves, and I suppose also there's a challenge there for us to compartmentalize. What is it about fundraising that you like, and what are the challenges, I guess, that you face with fundraising?
I think I love fundraising because it's about connection, and people are connection. And without connection, it's a very lonely world. And if we're going to create change, we need to work together. It's about collaboration. And those things are really important for me. That's what gets me out of bed every day. When I think about the things that are a little bit tough with fundraising, I think it can be the grief you feel when you are working to create change and there's a huge amount of injustice in the world. And that takes resilience. And I think that's a really important part. And that's where the donor is really important on this journey with us because they are creating that change with us. So there's connection to the cause, there's connection to the people we hopefully are serving, and there's connection to our donors who are working with us to create that change.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked last time about the fact that you're in New Zealand, and we were talking about this amazing fundraising campaign that you ran, which was incredibly successful and internationally recognized, I think. And then we talked about also, which was kind of interesting, was this idea that, you know, there's this thing about 6 degrees of separation, or there's a game, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but the 6 degrees of separation thing, it's a good drinking game if you get the chance. In New Zealand, it's 2 degrees of separation as well. Oh.
Yes, 100%.
That struck me because I guess also, you know, in the world that we live in, you know, with all the social media and all the kind of LinkedIn, Facebook and Instagram connections, things like that, the world seems like a smaller place in some ways. But building those close connections with other people, that's quite a challenge. But from kind of the success of this fundraising campaign that you were talking about in the last episode, it struck me that you were very successful, partly because you could make these very personal connections with lots of other people.
Yes, definitely. I think in New Zealand, I mean, we can be a big fish in a small pond per se, but there's the pros and cons with that as well. Like New Zealand's very much about who you know and connections. It's like being at a big Irish party all the time. You're always trying to find that connection. Oh, I was related to you, and yeah. But at the same time, you have to get things right a lot of the time because people remember. So there is that element. But I'd have to say, yeah, we live in a village in the Pacific and it's wonderful.
So today we're talking about the topic of moving to a 4-day week. When did this start for you, and what pros and cons have you experienced since?
So for us, we started, well, the fundraising team per se, and finance and HR. We trialed it from November 21. So we were still just coming out of a lockdown, a major lockdown actually at the time. And we put it into place and we did it for a 3-month trial. And then the full organization ran it from January 2022. So we were the guinea pigs per se, doing it for 3 months. So, and it was very much, I think, because we as a fundraising team, we're quite innovative and creative. So we were open to being curious about it and trialing it. And it, I mean, there's definitely pros and cons, but I have to say I'm a total convert. I love it. I wouldn't want to work any other way now. So yeah.
Wow. And was that something that's been trialed a lot in New Zealand? Are there other organizations doing it too?
Slowly, yes, they are doing it. It's a very slow process. I know in the UK you're doing it as well. I believe there's an Irish housing organisation that trialled it before we did in New Zealand, and they had great success there as well, a charity. So I definitely think the world's starting to pick it up. To the tail end of COVID, I think mental health and well-being is very, very important. And I'd say within the space we work in, where we're at the coalface often of quite challenging aspects of life, it's really important. I mean, people are the most important part of the organization. Our wonderful CEO, John Malka, says that a lot because he recognized quite quickly as we all moved back into the workplace that the transition was going to be hard, but we're all looking at life differently now, and we had an opportunity we could optimize on.
So it's not that you've moved your hours into 4 days. You've actually just cut out 7 or so hours of your working week. Is that right? Is that how
Yes.
it's...
Yeah, it's not 10 hours a day, that's for sure, for 4 days. It is, we're still working 7.5 hours a day, but we do it over 4 days now, or you can do it over 5 days and do shorter days. So that works fantastically for families. So if you've got young children and you've got to drop off to school and pick up afterwards, you can actually do that over a 5-day period because it's 30 hours over 5 days. So
That's
that's
amazing.
been brilliant, really, really good. So, but yeah, I do 4-day work week. So I have a Monday off as my gift day. And it is a gift day because legally we haven't changed any contracts. You can't legally. So this is the organization giving us this as a gift, or as we say in New Zealand, a koha, to give you, to say thank you. You're working really productively. You've pulled in efficiencies and made it tighter. And you're working in a collaborative fashion, which is what it's about.
And has this been done in lieu of any kind of like a pay increase or anything like that? Did it come out of people having to take we had kind of furlough in the UK. I don't know if you had furlough in New Zealand during the pandemic. Was it as a result of any of that? Or was it solely kind of an evolution of kind of work?
It's definitely an evolution of work. I think, I mean, when you look at the research, it says that actually, even just on a 40-hour work week, we're only productive 1.5 to 2.5 hours of that day. And we were like,
Wow,
hold
okay.
on a second. So really important, if you are going to look at starting a 4-day work week, have your metrics and benchmarking in place before you start, your current ones of where you're at. Because what you want to see is actually an increase in productivity, an increase in efficiency. And when there's a mentality around when you know you've got a gift day, but you're being paid to be there, still the same as you were 5 days a week, there's a part of you that goes, I really want to do this. So you start to look at where you can do things better. stay on an agenda at a meeting, work in a cross-functional manner across teams, so you're not having five different meetings to get to one place.
Yeah.
You know, just things like that change.
And I guess the kind of being more efficient, kind of working smarter rather than working harder, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you finding that having that one day off when other people are working, because presumably not everybody's not taking the same day, the same gift day, is that posing problems, or is it just allowing people to have time where they haven't got more colleagues asking questions and they can get on with their deeper
it
work?
It actually does work that way. So in the fundraising team, it's different across different teams depending on what the organizational needs are.
Mm-hmm.
But within fundraising, engagement and marketing, because there's 25 of us all in that area. So how we did it is it's you usually have a Monday or a Friday as your gift day,
mm-hmm.
but there's always half the team is on one of those days. So it's never completely no one's there. And then we factored Tuesday, everyone's in the office. Everyone.
Right, okay.
All our meetings happen. It's back to back. It's full on. Wednesday is a bit of a rollover day. And Thursday, but in those times, a lot of work gets done because you're not stuck in meetings the whole time.
Yeah.
And then that day that, say the Friday, because I have the Monday off, the Friday I get so much done because there's a lot of people in the office, you know. So it works really well.
What's it like in New Zealand around the kind of, is it hybrid working now, or are people back in the office generally?
No, we're quite hybrid, and I think we're quite innovative here in the way we work anyway. There's a lot of understanding culturally of family, you know, whānau, and how important that is within our culture. So I would say most people are in a hybrid of some way. So we at Blind Low Vision NZ, we have a four-day work week, but one of those is a gift day, but one is also working from home. So you're actually only in the office 3 days a week. And that it is, it's actually with the cost of living the way it is as well, it cuts down on transport, stress, sitting in traffic. It just works all round. So I think, and there's a huge amount of respect between the organisation and you as the employee.
So we talked a little bit about this already, but what would you say are the main things that organisations and staff need to think about before trialling a move to a four-day week?
I think you've got to look at the feasibility and the suitability of it for your organisation. Mm-hmm. Not every organisation is going to find it this easy. And there is some agility needed. You need to be able to flex your muscles a little bit and work out what's going to be best for everyone. I'd say check in with your measures and your benchmarking. Know where you are to start and what check in. You want to see an increase of at least 25% in productivity and efficiency and well-being. You know, that's a really important
part.
Yeah,
that's a hard thing to measure, I guess, isn't it? I mean, you probably measure that over a longer period of time if people are not taking as many sick days or something like this. But
yeah, and we do constant surveys and check-ins, anonymous, but we measure quite often. We've got a really great people and performance team who come in and do those questionnaires and make sure we are tracking well. And if something needs to be adjusted, we adjust it. I'd say technology is important too. Make sure you've got the technologies that supports cross-functional teamwork, whether it be, I don't know, Teams or Monday.com or something. Make sure you can work, that everyone can jump into that space. So technology is good. And just once again, I'll come back to it, but the respect between the organisation, the employer and the employee. And don't sort of come in, these are the rules. Yes, they need to be structured, but everyone's learning and adapting to it.
Okay. So it kind of needs to be fluid. And I, as you say, it's got to be kind of, it's got to be kind of an evolution, hasn't it, I suppose, of how people are working together. Have you seen people coming and going in your organization since you moved to the kind of four-day week? And do those changes make an impact on other colleagues if they've only got 4 days together?
Not necessarily. When we say coming and going, I'd say staff retention is much better. 100. Okay. Well, I can't say 100%. I haven't measured it, but I would say within the engagement team, staff retention is really high.
Mm.
I think it's an attractive proposal for a new employee coming into the organisation. You don't get it for the first 3 months because, you know, there's a bedding in time. And at the end of that 3 months, that's when you can opt in to the 4 day work week.
Is that the same length of time as probation, a probationary period? Or is that?
Yeah, it is. There's not really a time where you've got a gap because you are working more efficiently. Anything you are going to cover, you know to optimize on the days when everyone's there. And use those Monday or the Fridays we do as the head down project orientation days. So it's just been clever with it, really, I guess, structured.
And have you found personally your way of working has changed in terms of, are you more, you know, are your meeting times kind of shorter, or are you kind of, you know, sending out more? It's one of the things I do more and more, actually, is partly to organize myself, but I populate my diary quite a lot. And then I also put together agendas for all of my meetings. So I'm very clear on what, you know, what I'm looking for in terms of the objective. Yeah. I know you can't overly structure these things, as you say, because there's a risk that lack of creativity then, but things like that. Have you started kind of doing more of that kind of stuff?
I would say so. I think we're definitely more structured, and because we're working in a more cross-functional or cross-team way, we do need to be respectful very much of other people's time. So there's a lot of meetings. There's still a lot of meetings, but they are centralised to that middle time of the week, and we try and keep them to 45 minutes. We have a good, strict agenda, and if it's on Zoom, often you only get 45 minutes on Zoom, and then you have to log back in if you're going to continue. So that's a good indicator. Yeah, I'd say we're definitely more structured. You kind of have to be. But then again, we should have been anyway. What were we doing before? If we can do it in 4 days, what were we doing in the 5 days?
I mean, what is it that people are doing with their extra day off? Are they just living their lives, or are they doing all their washing or life admin things?
Things. I have one colleague who made some, I can't remember, it was violet gin of some sort.
Oh, wow. Very productive.
Different things. So I try and get all my admin, my life admin done on that day.
Yeah.
And then I've got the weekend to actually have free with my family and or walk the dog and not be trying to get everything done. So different people, different things. Like, strangely enough, I used to have my gift day on a Friday and I'd rush around on that Friday getting loads done. But now I have it on a Monday. I've changed it. And that's a really slow day in society, a Monday.
Yeah.
So I never rush around. It's like a day where I read. It just gives you that extra time to then, when you do have your weekend, to have time with your family and your friends.
And I suppose, yeah, it sounds to me like it's kind of optimizing your time at work with your colleagues and kind of developing your kind of efficiency at work to deliver what you would normally deliver in a 5 day week, but in a 4 day week. Do you see that there's any kind of further evolution that can happen there? I mean, is there any reason why we couldn't drop down another half a day or another full day and work 3 days instead of five? Or do you think there's a limit?
I'm not sure. I can't say, because statistically I don't know the research that's been done, but I do think if we were to look at our productivity in a day, from an output perspective, and then what isn't product or considered efficiency and productivity in a day, but it might be really important from a social perspective and a connection perspective, because I don't think we can minimize the impact of that on the human work life. I'd love to look more closely at how we measure through the day those connections, and is there room for optimization? So I can't answer the question, but I certainly have a curiosity about it.
That's fantastic. And it's winter where you are at the moment, isn't it? We talked about
it. I'm just in a big woolly jumper.
I mean, I suppose that because here in the UK, I think there's been some chat that I've seen, or certainly colleagues in the past, other managers that I know have said in the past that that they go into work partly to save money because on heating and things like that. But really, I suppose most people listening to this would probably trade even the cost savings of going in and using work energy rather than home energy, you know, for a 4-day week.
Yeah, and I would say probably that, I mean, well, I don't know, I think it's the same in the UK. The cost of living is quite high at the moment, and in particular for us, petrol and transport.
It
stops the roads. I mean, I think if we all move to a more 4-day work week, we're going to cut down on congestion, pollution, climate impacts. I think if you think about the ripple effect of it, it actually is all positive.
Bernadette Murphy, thank you for contributing again to Charity Chat.
I love Charity Chat.
Big thank you to Bernadette Murphy for sharing her insights and experience of moving to a 4-day working week here on Charity Chat. The 5-day working week is a norm that most of us would have never questioned, but for the disruption caused by the COVID pandemic and subsequent cost of living crisis and evolution of technology that we've seen over the last couple of years, which has opened up the conversation about working hours, well-being, staff retention, and being more efficient and productive with our time are three very good reasons for organisations to consider reducing the working week. For organisations looking to keep staff with children, the opportunity for parents to fit in their working hours within a school day is likely to demonstrate value for both worker and employers alike. In order to measure efficiency at work, the organisation needs clear metrics and benchmarking in place. Employees meeting of agreed SMART objectives and comparisons between staff surveys are two metrics to consider, but it's also worth looking at staff retention figures over a long period of time. An open, honest and transparent work culture, which has a clear governance code, well-being practices and good leadership, are most likely to thrive in any progressive change. Much like the challenges and benefits of hybrid or home working, organisations can start by better understanding their staff's needs. Not everyone wants to work from home, and there might be some who don't want to work less hours. Encouraging space and thought in organisations among all staff members is a good starting point to developing a more efficient, supportive and thriving work environment. So thank you, dear listener, for getting this far with us. We hope you enjoyed this episode and continue to enjoy the podcast. We'd love to hear either way. Please do like and subscribe to the podcast so that you never miss an episode, plus share with any colleagues or friends who may be interested. It's just left for me to thank our corporate sponsors. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. Also like to thank Giant Squid Audio Lab for sponsoring our podcast kit, Magda Axsmith for our beautiful website, check it out at charitychat.org.uk, and Forest of Fools for playing throughout the show and for playing us out right now. That's it from me. Keep on doing what you can. Speak to you soon. Cheerio. Bye-bye.